We've listened to this presentation of the Crusade of the Americas. Two of our own leaders here in Texas are going to respond to it. I'm going to present both of them now in order to conserve time. The first speaker will be Mrs. C.J. Umfrith, who is president of Woman's Missionary Union here in our state. She has worked faithfully these last several years. We found her to be a woman with an alert mind, a warm heart. Her complete dedication to Christ has been evident at all times. And we're greatly indebted to her, Miss Yulame Henderson. I'm getting you mixed up here, Ophelia. You feel confident. And to all of those who are working with them, because we've certainly had a magnificent response here in Texas this past year to state missions. The second speaker is Mr. Roy Eckers, president of Texas Baptist Men. He mentioned today the first time he and I got acquainted. We were together in an evangelistic crusade in 1955 in Jamaica. But you know, it's strange what you remember sometimes. He and I were walking down the street in Havana, Cuba. There was a third man with us, the outside, and he was a preacher from Texas. Some laborers there had put a metal box on a telephone pole. They'd been careless about where they put it. They put it right where it'd catch the top of a fellow's head as he climbed up the steps. This preacher didn't notice it, and he started tripping up the steps and hit that thing. It knocked him out temporarily, but as he fell into Roy Acres' arms. You know, after everything was all right and he knew he was going to be all right, got to thinking about it. It's very appropriate that he fell in Roy Acres' arms, especially if he hadn't recovered from it, because you see, Roy Acres is an undertaker. But let me say that this is a man who loves the Lord, who loves the work of our convention. Some time back when I tried to call him, they said he isn't here. He's left with a truckload of food and clothing for the Rio Grande Valley. This is typical of him. He not only sent a truckload, but he went along himself. And I know you'll hear both of these prayerfully as they come to talk to you about the part Texas ought to have in this tremendous crusade.
It was a sticky summer night, a miserable night, in the mountains of Japan. The Baptists of Japan were meeting at their summer assembly grounds in Magisanso in preparation for the next spring's New Life Crusade with its unprecedented invasion of Texas Baptists. All day long, the people had heard speeches on methods and organization necessary to prepare for and carry out this crusade. They had been hearing the things we hear year after year for preparation for revival. Some of the pastors had been skeptical. Some of them had openly expressed their fears that a Texas-type revival would not meet the needs of Japanese people and they would not respond to the methods from Texas. And then the Secretary of Evangelism for the Japan Convention went to the platform. And he began his speech that night to his brethren, telling them of a recent trip of his to Texas. Arasi Sensei said something like this. He said, 6 months ago, several of us went to Texas from Japan because We had the same fears in our heart that many of you have here tonight. Fears that East and West could not meet and have anything like Christ-honoring results with Texas methods. He said we were sitting in an office in the Baptist building in Dallas trying to tell Dr. Patterson and Dr. Freeman and others why it wouldn't work with the Japanese people. We were sharing with them the problems of social customs and religious culture and all of the things that make Japanese different from Texans. And he said, Dr. Patterson said, "Brethren, we do not have the ability or the wisdom to overcome these problems Arashi Sensei has outlined for us. Let us have a season of prayer and turn the matter over to God." And then Arashi Sensei said, with this call to prayer, I arranged myself on the chair, I closed my eyes, I folded my hands, and I waited for prayer to begin. And in a moment, someone began to pray. One of the Texans praying for Japan. And all of a sudden, I realized that there were tears in that man's voice. So he said, I peeked up to see what was going on. And to my embarrassment, I discovered the Texas men were on their knees praying for my people. And their tears flowed as they pled to God for Japan. And at this point in his story, standing there before the pastors and leading laymen of Japan, Arashi Sensei began to weep as he recalled how the Lord had dealt with him in convicting way. He said to his brethren, I listened to the words of their prayers, and I felt the tears of their broken hearts as they pled to God for my people. My people. And he looked them straight in the eye and he said, I, the Secretary of Evangelism for Japan, had never dared hope or even believe that we should really take seriously the possibility of winning Japan for Christ. And he said, the Holy Spirit drove me to my knees there with them, and my prayers joined their prayers for Japan, and my tears mingled with their tears, for I was aware that for the very first time in my ministry that I was standing in God's way. For the remainder of his time on the program that night, Arashi Sensei twirled a world globe that stood there on that table as he pled with the leaders of the Japan Convention, pastors from the churches, to take seriously the commandment that they be witnesses in their nation. And then he began a world mission challenge that they witness to their whole world, not just the Orient, but the whole world. And as he continued his impassioned plea, all over that room, people began to weep as conviction came. I sat there in utter amazement. 7 months before, I had toured Japan. I had visited some of the churches whose pastors sat there that day. I had met some of those same leaders 7 months before. And I felt myself fearing greatly for the success of the New Life Crusade on that occasion, for I had the same fears those Japanese had, that East and West could not meet, and that 1,000 Texas boots pounding to Tommy floors could be disastrous. 7 months later, the Lord sent me back to see what prayer could do, and I saw a Pentecost. As that night in Amagi Sanso, people became convicted that they had a responsibility to reach their nation for Christ. That night, Most of that group stayed up all night long in a prayer meeting there in the mountains of Japan. The next Sunday morning, those same pastors began to preach new life in Christ in a way that they had apparently not been preaching it, at least in recent times, and they were astounded to see people walk the aisles of their churches that very Sunday as they proclaimed new life in Christ. Why am I recalling history for you? You Texas Baptists know all of this story. You know about the New Life Crusade. You know and believe with me that a new era in Christian evangelism was perhaps born in those days of crusade in Japan. But it is necessary from time to time to remind ourselves of the lessons God teaches His people. And one of the lessons we learn, among many others, but one of the lessons that we learned in the New Life Crusade in Japan was the importance of prayer, the place of prayer in preparation for crusade, for revival, for being used of the Lord wherever and however He would use us. We went to our knees, Texans and Japanese alike, and I'm remembering some prayer meetings we shared together, you and I. We went to our knees and we made ourselves completely available to Christ. And I am here to say tonight that if we are to do the work of God in the Crusade of the Americas, in our churches Sunday by Sunday, in our Sunday school classes, in all of these opportunities God has so richly placed before us, it will be because we go to our knees and make ourselves completely available to God. Completely available. If the Crusade of the Americas is to succeed, both individuals and churches must be ready to let God tear down the barriers, even as we saw those barriers go down that night at Amagi Sanso. For barriers fell that night as pastors went to other pastors to say, I beg forgiveness of my brethren. I have led my church to oppose this crusade. Now pray for me as I go back and undo the harm I've done. There are barriers in the Crusade of the Americas. There are barriers of the differences between continents, political differences, religious history and cultures which have molded and shaped our different peoples, differences between Anglo, Latin, and Negroes here on our North American continent and in South America, differences which can only become overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit working a miracle because we have made our hearts completely available to Him. There are barriers which exist because we will be attempting to cooperate across convention lines. This is not just a Southern Baptist affair. We will be cooperating across Baptist convention lines, a fairly new experience for many of us. And so there will be barriers to be overcome. There will be barriers to erase as we try to reach our friends and neighbors in our hometown, those we recognize as neighbors and those we don't recognize as neighbors. This Crusade of the Americas is not a plan to send a team of Texans to South America. This is a plan to reach the Western Hemisphere for Christ. And this means your home community. This means where you are. It does not mean just a few hit-and-run revival meetings. There are more than 50 million people living inside the United States of America who have no religious affiliation. The Crusade of the Americas is to reach these citizens of our land also. Women's Missionary Union has accepted the responsibility placed upon us to challenge the people of Southern Baptist churches, of Baptist churches across the world, to prayer, to call you and your people to prayer. In the calendar of events for the crusade, the evangelism department has listed certain events connected with prayer as priority emphases at given times. One of these emphases is participate in the church-to-church pairing for prayer. As you came into the auditorium tonight, you received a blue and white folder with the crusade emblem on it, and on the other side, the words packed with clasped hands. I want each of you to have a copy of this before you leave this auditorium tonight, because it's very important as you go back to call your church to participation in the Crusade of the Americas. This meeting Brother Cooper's already referred to as you challenge your people to become involved in it. On this folder, you have an application blank which you will send in. You may send it in as a church asking for a church to be a prayer partner with your church. You may ask for families to be prayer partners with your family, each church member, each family in your church, sending in a request to have prayer partner families, or individuals may request to have individual prayer partners. You simply tear this card off, and it's already addressed on the back side, so you don't even have to write down where to send it. Simply put a 5-cent stamp on it. I'll remind you that it does take 5 cents nowadays to send a postcard. So when you have completed the information requested on the other side, and do it right away. Already assignments are being made. Already other states are sending in requests to Women's Missionary Union for prayer partners for the crusade. So do not delay. Begin as soon as you get home. Fill out all of the information that might apply to your group. And you see some information that deals with language spoken. Because, as you know, there will be 4 major languages involved in the crusade. English, or the British would say Americanese, French, Spanish, and Portuguese. And so if you read any of these languages, you might write that in. And then if you read additional languages, write that in, because, you know, we have numerous churches in the United States. We have Russian-speaking churches in the United States. We have those that speak Chinese and so forth. And so if you have those in your church who would prefer the other languages, let it be known so that assignment can be made in this way to fit your need in your church. Now, PACT is one aspect of prayer involvement for the Crusade of the Americas. Then another listing on your crusade calendar is attend WMU prayer retreats for the crusade. Now, it is our hope that these will not be just WMU members attending these prayer retreats. We hope these will be church-wide prayer retreats. And in order to assist you in planning these prayer retreats, Mrs. N.B. Moon, our prayer director for Women's Missionary Union of Texas, has prepared some specific plans for prayer retreats, and these will go in the mail to your WMU president. And if she's not registered with our office, we do need her name in order to send it to her. These will go in the mail along with a little quarterly publication which goes every quarter called The Helper. These are designed for guidance by Women's Missionary Union and help for Women's Missionary Union in your church to plan prayer retreats in the church. Then we have one other piece of material that was handed to you, a little folder on the front of which says, "I will pray for the Crusade of the Americas." These are prepared by Women's Missionary Union of Texas for use in your churches by your people as prayer requests are made known, so that they can list them on this little folder and keep them in their Bible, keep them wherever it is that they keep the lists of people for and causes for which they pray regularly. Simply a reminder which we think you will find very helpful. It's not our purpose in responding to these opportunities. It's not our purpose simply to project an organization for prayer or simply to project an organization for any reason, but to challenge you to commitment to prayer and to challenge you to go back to your churches and lead them in prayer. Moment by moment, day by day, through prayer, committing themselves to the Lord to be used in this great crusade. And I'm convinced, as has already been pointed out to us tonight, once you get them involved, they don't stop there. It does not stop with just a one-time involvement. We are here to remind you that God's Word says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. There comes then a list of the promises, the blessings, but it begins by prayer, humbling ourselves in prayer. This leads us to the power that can make our mission possible.